There's a story about an old preacher. The story is called Diver Diseases. And the old preacher, he stood up to preach. And he read his text from the book of Matthew, chapter 4 and verse 24. And this is from the King James old version. And it said, "And they brought unto him," that is unto Yeshua, "all the sick people who were taken with divers," or that means various, "divers diseases." And the preacher said, "Now the doctors can scrutinize you. The doctors can analyze you. And sometimes they can even cure your ills. But when you have divers diseases, then only the Lord can cure you. And brethren," he said, "there is a regular epidemic of divers diseases among you. Some dive for the door as soon as the service is over. Some dive for the TV set as soon as they get home. Some dive into a list of excuses about why they're not working or serving the Lord. Others dive for the car and make a trip over the weekend. Some dive for their nickels and their dimes when it's time to give the offering or take up the offering, nickels and dimes instead of paying their tithe. Some dive for the door as soon as the minister gives the appeal to pray at the altar during the services. Yes, it takes the Lord and His love for His body to cure divers diseases." Such truth to that. You know, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." We need to be a people without excuses. Today, much of the body of the Messiah is lukewarm for the kingdom of God. They're content, they're satisfied in just having a casual relationship or a minimal relationship with God. And much of the body is increasingly growing worldly and sensual and wicked and cold. And there's a great spiritual famine that's being experienced within the whole body, the whole church. There's a famine taking place. And some of us who are in this room today are starving to death for lack of spiritual nourishment. You're starving to death. We see from the book of Revelations, in the message to the church of Laodicea, that there is a blindness and a cloud covering the eyes of multitudes of believers who say, "I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing." In other words, "I don't need God. I've got it all." But the Messiah, He tells us instead that we are wretched, that we are pitiful, that we are poor, and that we are naked. And I think we all need to understand that some of us here are in very bad shape. I'm not just talking physical shape, and there are a lot of you in bad physical shape. But a lot of you are in a worser condition. You're in a bad spiritual shape. And that will affect your entire body, soul, mind, and spirit. God is calling us in this room, all of us here, to bigger and greater things. He's looking for people who are wholly given to the things of God. Totally bought out for God. A faithful remnant of people that's led by His Ruach, that's led by the Spirit. Children of light, people who are awake, people who are alive, people who hunger and thirst for God. And today we are truly a people without excuse. And we need to be a people hungry for God. Hungry for God. We need to realize that we are starving to death because our relationship with God doesn't exist or is very weak. This leads us into the Torah parsha, the Torah portion that is for today. Today we begin, as you see in your bulletins, Shemot, the book of Exodus. And that's the very first parsha, Shemot, in the book of Exodus. And it's from Exodus 1:1 through 3:22. And in this portion, we first see a man named Moses. And he was a man who had seen God's eternal power and God's divine nature, yet he sought excuse after excuse for his unwillingness to serve the living God. And the Lord had appeared to Moses, as you remember the story, as a burning bush. He appeared to him as a light to show Moses his need to adorn the armor of God's light. If you have your scriptures, I'm going to be reading from Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Exodus 3, verse 1. And this is what it says. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of Adonai appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and I will see this strange sight. Why this bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from within the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Hineni, here I am. Here I am, Lord. And like David, Moses was called from the tending of the flock, a shepherd of God's people. It was at this time that God called Moses from within the flames of the fire. And just as Israel was not consumed in her furnace of affliction in the land of Egypt, so that bush that was aflame was not consumed because God was there. And the angel of Adonai was not just an angel, but a manifestation of God himself. It was Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, the great I Am. God's revelation of himself and his will was often accompanied by the fire and the smoke. And we know that every true prophet was called by God. We see this in Shemuel and Samuel, in Yeshayahu and Isaiah, in Yirmiyahu, in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, in Hoshea, in Hosea, in Amos, Yonah, in Jonah, and others. God was the one who called them. And the prophet's task was to speak God's word on God's behalf. He was to be God's mouth to the people. And that response that Moses gave, here am I, which is in the Hebrew, Hineni, was that typical answer to God's call. It meant this. And this needs to be the same thing when God is speaking to us. Hineni means, I'm listening, Lord. I'm available, Lord. I'm ready, Lord. I'm able, Lord. Use me for whatever you require. And we need to respond likewise to God's call and step up to the plate. And even if we swing and miss, at least we're swinging, and at least we're trying, and we're giving it our best. And in verse 5 in Exodus 3, continuing, it says, and do not come any closer, God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. And at this, Moshe, he hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And Adonai said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the children of Israel has reached me, and I have seen the way that the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Notice in this section that Adonai saw. And Adonai, the Lord, heard. And that Adonai, the Lord, was concerned about his people. And for those of us here today, know that the Lord sees your need. Know that he has heard your prayers. Know that he is concerned for your well-being and will answer your cry to him. But we need to seek after him, and we need to search after him with all of our heart. And when we do, he will find us, and he will deliver us from all of our captivity. It was God and not Moses who was to be that redeemer, the Goel of Israel. It was the Lord himself who was to rescue and deliver them from Pharaoh's cruelty to the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And it is Adonai who delivers us from the cruel hand of the evil one into his kingdom of glorious riches. Now Moses responded at first to God's calling like many of us in this room do. He showed reluctance. He made up excuses. He came up with numerous reasons why he could not do the will of God. We do that all the time. 5 times Moses tried the patience of God. How many times have we tried the patience of God? 5 times? No, 100 times. 1,000 times we have tried the patience of God. And each time Adonai, the Lord, responded to the reluctance of Moses with love and mercy. However, Adonai, the Lord, is looking for a people who are quick to respond to his calling without excuses, without reasons. A people who are sold out to the kingdom of God. A faithful remnant ready to carry forth his word and to do his will. In Exodus 3, verses 11 through 17, we read about all these excuses, these reasons that Moses makes, and how God lovingly and how God graciously answers each one of them. And the excuses that Moses gave 3,500 years ago ring so familiar to the people of God today. Things don't change. We're still sounding the same note, and we're still playing the same tune. Yet each time we show reluctance and we offer excuses, God will lovingly bring us reassurance. As God spoke to Moses 3,500 years ago, he still speaks to us today. But as a side note here, let me just say, I wouldn't want to try God's patience with the same excuses. It's a scary thought. And you know I have. And I'm so sorry that I have. And we need to be very repentant, sorry, that we've done the same thing. The first excuse that Moses offers to God is this: who am I that I should go? Who am I that I should go? Instead of getting angry with Moses, Adonai answers, I will be with you. I will be with you. This is God's promise to be a sustainer and protector of his people. That Hebrew word translated, I will be, is the same as the one translated, I am. The I am who I am. The great I am is going to be with Moses, and he's going to be with us when we call out to him for help. All you got to do is call out to him for help, and the great I am is there to help you. It's easy for us to say, who am I? I'm nobody. I can't be used of God. I'm not a good orator. How is God going to use me? I'm nobody. However, if God could cause a jackass to speak, then God can certainly speak through your mouth. I'm talking about Balaam's donkey, okay? All right. Secondly, Moses tells God, when people ask, who is this God? What is his name? What can I say? Once again, Adonai does not respond in anger to him, but says, I am who I am. And in Hebrew, this phrase is translated, I will ever be what I now am. That is, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He existed before the creation of the world. Don't ask me how that's possible. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I think, Lord, how did this world be? How was this world created? How did man come to exist? We know all the scientists and anthropologists and biologists, and they all talk about these random effects and this great big bang that took place and all these little atoms, and they just came together and bam, there they were. Boy, that takes a lot more faith than opening up the scriptures and seeing that God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That takes a lot more faith. I am, I will ever be what I am now. This is a very personal name by which God wished to be known by his people and wished to be worshipped in Israel, a name that expresses his character as a dependable and faithful God who desires the full trust of his people, and God desires to have a personal relationship with us. Thank you, Lord. God appeared to Moses not as the creator, God of power, but Elohim, but the personal God of salvation. And Yeshua uses this name himself. In the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 58, John 8:58, he says, I tell you the truth, Yeshua said, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, it says that they picked up stones to stone him to death. But Yeshua hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Yeshua here expressed the eternity of his being and his oneness with the Father. Now this was taken as blasphemy by the people, because in Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 16 it says that anyone who blasphemes the name of God must be put to death. The entire assembly must stone him. He must be put to death. But he was and he is the one true God. Yeshua is God. Manifest in the flesh, came down to this earth, the incarnate Son of God, to share his love and his testimony of hope to a world that was dying, to give us all hope that we might have eternal life as we put our trust and our faith in him. Now, thirdly, Moses responds to God, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, Moses, Adonai didn't appear to you? Once again, the Lord shows his loving kindness and he answers Moses through the giving of miraculous signs. And these signs provided by God would not only be a testimony to Israel and Egypt of God's presence, but they would assure and encourage and strengthen Moses and us as well. How often we fail to share about the Lord because we fear people, because we think that they won't listen to us or they won't believe us. We fear that people will laugh at us and think that we're insane. Yet, God is still a God of miracles and signs and wonders, and these things still follow those who believe and put their trust in Him. That's why I've been emphasizing the supernatural and the miraculous. I'm believing it. It's going to take place. I'm trusting Him. I'm praying for the supernatural and the miraculous. We, as the people of God, need to see those signs and wonders and miracles. Not so that we believe, but because we need to be empowered and we need to be able to change, touch people's lives. We need to see healings manifest. We need to see miracles in every way in all of our lives. And I'm believing for those things. And we're believing for that rain. And Bob, just keep praying and believing for that rain, that God will pour out His rain. I was disappointed at 10 o'clock this morning because we had a lot less people at prayer at 10 o'clock this morning than we've had the last few weeks. Don't give up in praying and seeking and searching after God with all of your heart. You want to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Be here because I believe it's going to take place. And you need to be here to receive it and experience it in your life. It's not going to take place staying at home, sitting in front of the TV, eating potato chips. Not going to happen. Thank you, Lord. The fourth time Moses responds to God, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue." How many of us have this same excuse? I've never been a good speaker. I get all tongue-tied and all messed up when I try to share anything. I know the word of the Lord, but when it counts, I can't think of a thing to say. Following in His continued pattern of mercy, God responds to Moses by demonstrating that it is He who gives man his mouth. It's God who makes us deaf, or God who makes us mute, who gives us sight or makes men blind. God will help Moses to speak, and He will teach each one of us here what to say when it truly counts. In Luke chapter 12, verse 11, Yeshua said, Luke 12:11, "When you are brought before synagogue rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will teach you at that time what you are to say." And the same thing is going to happen for us today. As we rely on the Ruach HaKodesh to lead us and guide our words, God will speak through our lips. He promises us. Moses finally loses it here with his fifth excuse. He loses it. And he says, "Oh Lord, please just send someone else. Send someone else. I don't want to go. Send someone else." He's really treading here on some very, very dangerous ground. And he's acting in outright disobedience to the commands of God. And this is where we often are, and we don't realize the danger that we're actually in by ignoring the direct commands of God. We know that what we're supposed to do, but we act like God doesn't see, and we'll let our disobedience just slide. You think God doesn't see? You think God doesn't know the things you do, the things you say? You think He doesn't see the things done in darkness? God sees it. You can't hide it in a closet. God sees everything. God knows everything. It's a very scary position to be in. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. We need to have that fear, that reverence of God. And you think you're going to get away with things that you're special, that God overlooks? No, God doesn't. God expects so much of us, so much of you in this room. You are so special to God. And He has a special plan and a special purpose for your life. And He wants to do so much through your life. Just trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. Although Adonai is slow to anger and abounding in love, He does not withhold His anger and punishment from the disobedient children forever, His word says. Sometimes enough is enough, and God will not stand for it anymore. Don't ever get in that place. Don't ever get in that place. I can tell you I have come dangerously close to that in my life, in my walk as a believer. And I don't want to be there ever again. I don't ever want to be there again. As God transmits His word through His prophets to His people, so Moses will then transmit God's message through Aaron, and then Aaron to the Pharaoh. As it says in Exodus chapter 4, verse 14 through 17, then Adonai's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You will speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak, and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff, Moses, take this staff in your hand, so that you can perform miraculous signs with this staff." Miraculous signs. What a shameful people we have become. We are lukewarm, sick, diseased, pitiful, bound up in sin and idleness. But God is looking for a people who are hungry to be intimate with Him. Hungry to be intimate with Him. A people who thirst for righteousness. People who know the very heart of God and know His voice as a sheep knows the voice of his shepherd. The Lord is looking for a separated remnant, not sold out to sin, but who will answer that call. Hineni. Use me. I'm ready. I'm available. I'm listening. I'll go, Lord. Here I am, Lord. People with clean hands and a pure heart and a thirst for the one who gave us the living water. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, understood that the time was too short to be playing around with the things of God. People, it's too short of time. I don't know when Yeshua's coming back. I can't tell you. I'm not a prophet. Neither was my father a prophet. Neither do I come from a line of prophets. But God's word shows us the signs around us. Maybe with President Trump coming in, maybe things have been delayed for a while. Maybe God has allowed a pause. Something's taking place. But I know God is angry with this world also. As we see the world around us, as we see all the violence and the murdering and the abortions and the rape and all the things taking place in this world today, God is angry. But we have the opportunity as the people of God to be as Moses was to the people. We can intercede for the people, for the lost. We can go out and do our best to reach the lost and help them and bring them to the kingdom of God. Again, Rashaul, the Apostle Paul, he understood that time was too short for playing around with things of God. And he wrote in Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11 through 14. Romans 13:11. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. I want to just stop for a second. This is a thought came to my mind. You know, maybe what I'm sharing seems hard. Maybe what I'm sharing seems like, you know, I'm getting on your case. You know, trying to force you to serve God. Trying to force you to want a relationship with God. Trying to tell you the importance of getting it right with God. Maybe I'm sounding hard, but that's not the intent of my heart. That's not the intent of my heart. The intent is love and purity, because I love you all and I want to see God touch your life and change you and bring about the miracles that you need in your life and in your families. I mean, if you're looking for a place where they're going to tell you about how you can get rich, this is not the place. All right? This is not the place. You're not going to impress me with diamonds and jewels and all of those things. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth, because you shall know the truth and it will set you free. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, and the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and not in jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with Adonai Yeshua, the Messiah. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of your flesh. God is requiring a greater call and a greater effort from all of us. There's too much work yet to be done for the kingdom of God. There's too many lost souls needing to hear the good news of the Messiah. Yeshua said in John 4:35, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. They're ripe for harvest. Oh. Remember I'm praying for the rain? Thank you, Lord. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, the rain is coming. Nice and refreshing rain. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. There's too much work yet to be done for the kingdom of God. Too many souls that are lost and needing to hear that good news. And going back to John 4:35, open your eyes and look in the fields are ripe for harvest. He also said in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There's not enough workers out there. We need to be worker bees out there. Where's Colisa? Is she here? Oh, she just went out. Now that I'm talking about worker bees, she works out. Okay. That's why it's important that you never leave the service. During any part of it, you don't know what you're going to miss. Thank you, Lord. The workers are few. God needs more workers to share His good news, to share His honey with the world, the sweetness of Messiah. That's why it's so important that we step up and do our part in the end days. God is calling us to holiness, to Himself, to purity of heart, to a separated life, a people who will answer His call and give themselves wholly to God. God's not looking for a people, again, with excuses. He's not. Or reasons why you feel you're not able or you lack the desire to answer the call to service in the kingdom of God. Again, he's looking for people to say, Hineni, here I am, I'm ready, Lord. I'll go, I'm listening, Lord. Send me, Lord. Tell me what you would have me do, O God. And we need, as I'm ending now here, but I want you to take this with you, this scripture. This is from Isaiah, Yeshayahu chapter 6 and verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Hineni, here I am, send me. You need to hear the voice of the Lord calling you. I'm not saying that you're supposed to be a rabbi or a minister or a pastor or a preacher or anything. But the voice of the Lord is calling all of us and saying, whom shall I send? He wants to send you. Maybe it's just to your sister or to your brother or to your aunt, your uncle. Maybe it's your father, or your mother, your cousin. Someone you're working with, he wants to send you to them so that you can share. Who will go for him? Who in this room will say, Hineni, Lord. Hineni, I'm ready, Lord. Let's stand, please. Let's lift our arms before God. That word in Hebrew, Hineni, says, I'm ready, I'm listening, I'm willing, send me, Lord. Let's say that word, Hineni. Come on. Hineni, Lord. Hineni. 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 Keep saying it. Hineni. Hineni. Here I am. Hineni. I'm listening, Lord. Hineni. Send me, Lord. Hineni. I'm willing, Lord. Hineni. Tell me what you'd have me to do, O Lord. Hineni. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, everyone standing, every hand lifted, O God, I pray that you would speak clearly to every life in this room, that we would truly be a people without excuses, without reasons why we can't serve you, why we can't do what your word tells us to do. We are a people without excuses, Lord. Help us to serve the living God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if today, if you're not doing the things you're supposed to be doing, I'm not here to condemn you. But I pray that the Spirit of the living God, His ruach, His breath, His wind, will bring conviction to your hearts. May the Spirit of the living God bring conviction to your heart and speak into the very depths and the recesses of your heart. That if you are not doing what you're supposed to do, that you will be listening to His voice and obeying and be obedient to His word. In the name of Yeshua, for His glory and for His honor, in Yeshua's name, amen. Let's join hands together, please.